Section 2, Contemporary Governors. As you read, look for attempts by Mike Foster to restore dignity to the governor's office. How Kathleen Blanco's response to Hurricane Katrina led to a negative assessment of her term in office. The election of the nation's first Indian-American governor. Terms, polling, privatize. To date, no governor after 1996 has had the kind of electoral success enjoyed by Edwin Edwards. Nor have the state's most recent governors been quite so colorful in terms of their personalities and public statements. However, for many voters, a more dignified public image seemed to be appealing. Mike Foster as governor, 1996 to 2004. Mike Foster was elected governor for a term that began in 1996. Reflecting the view that Edwards had misused his office, Foster promised he would bring fair decision-making back to state government and to the awarding of state contracts. Although his grandfather, Murphy Foster, had been governor in the late 19th century, Mike Foster was not well known when he entered the race. However, he had a history of accomplishment as a state legislator and a solid record of success in business. Foster was wealthy enough to begin his campaign by using his own money. He argued that, because he was already wealthy, he would not be tempted to engage in corruption to enrich himself. Foster had been a lifelong Democrat, but he changed his party affiliation to Republican to run for governor. That decision seemed to benefit him in a crowded field that included several Democrats. His only other Republican opponent was the one-term governor, Buddy Romer, who failed to pose a serious challenge. Foster ran in the general election against an African-American legislator named Cleo Fields, over whom he won a decisive victory. Foster served two terms, from 1996 to 2000 and from 2000 to 2004. In his second term, as in his first, the governor passed measures designed to assure people that their state government was run fairly rather than on the basis of favoritism. Foster also strongly supported educational institutions at all levels, raising salaries for teachers and upgrading neglected facilities at the state's universities. As he left office in 2004, some critics charged that he had not done enough to attract new businesses to Louisiana or to shrink the size and scope of government. Despite those criticisms, Foster did return dignity and calm to the governor's mansion after the Edwards scandals. Kathleen Blanco as governor, 2004 to 2008. Like Edwin Edwards, Kathleen Blanco came from the Acadian region of the state. She was born in Coteau in 1943. She worked briefly as a teacher, married in 1964, and had six children. Blanco and her husband ran a successful small business that did research and polling, questioning persons to obtain information or opinions. She decided to enter electoral politics in the early 1980s. Blanco was elected to the state legislature and to the Public Service Commission before being elected lieutenant governor in 1995. After two terms as lieutenant governor, Blanco ran for governor in 2003. She won a narrow victory over her general election challenger, a Republican U.S. congressman named Bobby Jindal. In the process, she became the first woman elected governor of the state. In the first year and a half of her term, Blanco focused on improving educational opportunity and facilities. She also raised salaries for teachers. However, when Hurricane Katrina hit Louisiana in late August 2005, local, state, and federal officials were unprepared to deal with the crisis that followed. Blanco disagreed with federal officials about how to handle the response, and this led to her being blamed for a delay in the arrival of federal help. Like many other officials in New Orleans and the nation's capital, Blanco was widely thought to have performed poorly after the storm. Her final years in office were taken up with recovery efforts and in securing federal funds to help people return to the state and rebuild after the storms of 2005. She also lobbied for funds to protect and restore Louisiana's coastal areas. In part because of the negative assessment of her performance after Katrina, Blanco chose not to run for a second term. Bobby Jindal as governor, 2008. Bobby Jindal, Blanco's close competitor in the 2003 election, cruised to an easy victory over three main opponents in the 2007 campaign for governor. He won impressive victories in all but four of the state's 64 parishes. When he was inaugurated governor in 2008, he became the nation's first Indian American governor. The showcase accomplishment of Jindal's first term was a package of ethics reform laws designed to end Louisiana's reputation for corruption once and for all. Whether the reforms will succeed over time remains an open question. At the beginning of his second term in 2012, Jindal undertook extensive reforms of the state's education and healthcare systems. In both areas, Jindal took an approach that favored privatizing functions that had, for decades, been state-run and administered. To privatize is to remove something from government control and place it in private control or ownership. Jindal had a great deal of success in the legislature in his first 5 years in office. In 2013, he tried to gain legislative support for a broad set of changes in the state's taxation structure. Legislators refused to go along with that plan, and Jindal withdrew it from consideration. Despite the worldwide economic downturn that began in 2008, oil, gas, and petrochemical businesses in Louisiana remain numerous, profitable, and extremely important to the state's economy. In early 2014, the governor took a trip to countries in Asia to try to attract new businesses to the state. Because he is not allowed to seek a third consecutive term, his second term ends when a new governor is inaugurated in 2016. Special feature: Louisiana's shrinking coast and wetlands. Did you know that every hour Louisiana loses a football field size area of wetlands? Louisiana has over 3 million acres of wetlands, which is almost 40% of all the wetlands in the United States. Unfortunately, Louisiana has over 80% of wetland losses in the United States each year. Between 1932 and 2000, Louisiana lost 1,900 square miles of wetlands, which is like losing the landmass of New York City every 13 years. If the current rate of erosion continues, another 640,000 acres will be underwater by 2050. That's an area almost the size of Rhode Island. The Mississippi Delta and its surrounding wetlands are among the fastest disappearing landmasses in the world. There are many different causes leading to the rapid coastal and wetland erosion. Some of the causes include climate change, major shifts of the Mississippi River, rising sea levels, saltwater intrusion, and land subsidence or sinking. Construction of levees has prevented seasonal flooding that is necessary for healthy wetlands. The Louisiana Barrier Islands are also eroding and can no longer provide protection for the wetlands. The consequences of continued coastal erosion are severe. Louisiana's coast is essential to both Louisiana and the United States. Louisiana's commercial fisheries provide 25 to 35% of the nation's total catch. One-fourth of the United States' energy supply depends on support facilities in South Louisiana. About 65% of Louisiana's population lives within 50 miles of the coast. If the current rate of erosion continues, many people will have to move inland. The Louisiana Coastal Protection and Restoration Authority, or CPRA, is working to find solutions to stop and reverse coastal erosion. In 2012, the Louisiana legislature passed the $50 billion Coastal Master Plan. The goal of this plan is to increase flood protection for citizens, save and build land, marsh, and barrier islands, and create a sustainable coast. One specific way the CPRA is working to reverse erosion is by creating holes in levees. These holes, also called diversions, will divert the muddy water from the river and allow it to flow into the marsh to deposit sediment. Another proposed solution is dredging the rivers and Gulf of Mexico for sediment and then pumping the sediment into open water that is still shallow enough to be reclaimed. Do you think it is worth spending so much of your family's tax dollars to save the shrinking coast?